Hello, welcome to the English program. We are doing the final part now of chapter one of this excellent story from the Jane Austen Twitter project. For more information, you have to go to austenproject.com to find out all about this exciting project. Now, the whole idea is that the whole of this story, which hasn't been written yet, eventually will have been written in turns over Twitter using the hashtag A4T, so you can sort of follow the story there. But it's being sort of written as we are sort of doing this, these live broadcasts. It's still being composed by the people who are contributing, so it's it could sort of evolve into anything at all. So it's extremely exciting, and we have been invited to read some of the bits of the story. So we've done sort of on chapter one now. This is the third part, our third audio boo on chapter one. And just so you know, just there are lots of sort of hashtags and sort of pages and things. All of the information about the Jane Austen Twitter project can be found, as I say, by going to austenproject.com. But just for us, for our contribution, the best thing to do is to go to AudioBoo, and it's audioboo.fm/English radio. We've got a special hashtag, PemberleyBoo. There we go. Type that in, PemberleyBoo, boo, all together, and you'll have all of our little episodes all together. Okay, so this is it now, the final bit of only the first sort of chapter of the story. And as I say, you know, no one knows how this thing is going to sort of end, so it's all terribly exciting, but we shall see how it goes. "But does it follow that a rich man is necessarily a good one?" persisted Eleanor. "And surely when we know so little about him, it would be unwise to become acquainted without recommendation." Mrs. Bennet looked at Eleanor as if she could not comprehend her. "Oh, Eleanor, I think you should reserve all judgment until you meet him. He sounds perfectly splendid to me," cried Marianne. It was in the nature of these two sisters that Marianne should be all enthusiasm and unconsidered rapture, while Eleanor could always follow the dictates of sense and reason. She was more than willing to think well of Mr. Willoughby, but only after decided proof that he had a good heart, as well as his own house, his own teeth, and his own horse. Mrs. Bennet, by contrast, was as exuberant in her anticipation as any young lady of 16, despite it being many long years since she had donned her matronly cap. She saw the ball as a wondrous opportunity to live out her youth again through the young ladies in her party, and was fully prepared to find husbands for them all among the wealthy and eligible acquaintance of her dear Mr. D. "Oh, my dear Mr. D.," exclaimed Mrs. Bennet, her cheeks flushing with pleasure at the thought of her favourite son-in-law. "Such an obliging, handsome man, and so very, very wealthy. He owns the better part of Derbyshire, you know. Miss Dashwood and is married to my daughter Lizzie. Of course, dear Mr. D. has 10 times the consequence of any Mr. Willoughby, and he has a particular place in my heart." It has to be said that dear Mr. D. had not always found such fond favour with Mrs. Bennet. When he'd first come into the neighbourhood, his rather proud hauteur and consequent initial snubbing of Lizzie had set Mrs. Bennet against him. He had been called disagreeable and horrid. But all had been reversed in the time it took Lizzie to tell her mother she was engaged to him. And Mrs. Bennet had soon taken it into her head that she had always loved him. This is the English programme.